good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, January 20, 2017. America will have a new president anytime from now. What are the expectations of South Sudanese?
I would like to ask the president-elect Donald J. Trump to bring peace to the South Sudanese people by engaging them into common understanding.
What I need is peace. If there is a way for the newly elected President Donald J. Trump to bring peace in South Sudan, I would be very much happy.
And the UN World Food Programme is appealing for more funds to feed the growing number of South Sudanese refugees fleeing to Uganda.
We have a challenge of shortage in the pipeline. And as a result of that shortage in the pipeline, we have revised our figures. And our figures now, the shortage from January to June is $57 million.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Long lines could be seen today at the National Mall here in Washington as hundreds of thousands of Americans came to witness the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump, whose swearing-in as the 45th president will happen anytime from now on the steps of the U.S. Capitol Hill in Washington. South Sudanese here in the United States say they are looking forward to a country led by Mr. Trump. Two leaders in the South Sudanese diaspora community say they hope to work with the new administration on behalf of South Sudan. South Sudan in Focus reporter Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
Inauguration Day is one of the most important days in the U.S. political process. Unlike other countries, a peaceful transition of power has always taken place when new presidents are elected. Today, on his last day in the Oval Office, President Barack Obama ceded power to newly elected President Trump in front of hundreds of thousands of well-wishers at the Capitol building, a few blocks from the White House. The streets of Washington are lined with supporters who came to witness the tradition. One of those supporters is Thun Moses, a Republican and naturalized South Sudanese American who lives in nearby Alexandria, Virginia. He says he did not vote for Trump, but is excited to be at the National Mall in person today to help Trump celebrate.
We are the country that surely can embrace democracy, so whoever earned it, we give our respect to. So he has earned it, and I think with that, I have to give him my respect. That he's going to be my president for the next 4 years.
South Sudan's Ambassador Gordon Boy, the Consular for Diaspora Affairs for the South Sudanese Embassy in North America, says he believes the Republican president will strengthen diplomatic ties to South Sudan.
I believe that Trump will treat South Sudan differently from other countries, simply because if you look at the history of the Republican Party, if you look at the people with Trump right now, these are some of the people who were with George W. Bush, the George W. Bush presidency, and these are the same people who were working to ensure that South Sudan would be an independent state, and that South and the Sudan government will sign the CPA. These are the same people who are now surrounding Donald Trump. So when it comes to South Sudan, we are not worried at all about Donald Trump not losing interest in the South. No, he will not lose interest in the South at all.
Boy says President Trump has already shown that he will take office with new energy. Boy says the embassy in Washington has not spoken to Trump's team about his country, but they are confident of having good working relations with whomever Trump appoints to oversee issues in South Sudan.
We believe Donald Trump will come with a new perspective, and he will support the transitional government of national unity to implement the peace. He will support us financially.
Moses says he wants to witness history taking place today, and he wants to help his fellow Americans usher in a new presidency.
And I think for most people that voted for him, it is a significant day for some of them. And for many of us who share a democracy, it's significant for all of us because now he's going to be our leader.
Moses says he is aware of local media reports that protesters are expected to travel to Washington to disrupt inauguration festivities. He says he welcomes free speech and the right of all Americans to voice their opinions.
So I think it has its meaning to individual, but a day like this, we all find way to attach certain meaning to the day itself. So for some of us, we attribute it to democracy, that this has been the choice, and as a democratic country, we have to embrace that choice. for those who actually voted for him, it's a big win for them.
National media reports that hundreds of thousands are expected to travel to the National Mall to participate in the inauguration festivities, including the parade directly following President Trump's swearing in. 100 streets in downtown Washington are fenced off from commuters for the parade. Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
We'll bring live coverage of events at the inauguration, at the venue of the inauguration, later on this broadcast. South Sudanese are hoping that President-elect Donald Trump will bring peace to their country. Our reporters asked South Sudanese in Torit, Warap, and Awil what they would like Donald J. Trump to do for their country.
I would like President-elect Donald J. Trump and his new administration to acquaint themselves and dig deep into the root causes of South Sudan crisis. And thereafter, he and his new government should work for honest and durable solution to South Sudan conflict.
I think it is a full responsibility for American people, especially the newly elected president, to silence the gun by pressuring South Sudanese rebel group for win-win peace.
I would like President-elect Donald J. Trump, together with the international community, to work towards bringing amicable solution to the South Sudan civil war and create room for peace to the suffering population there. This peace should be inclusive, genuine, and address the root causes of the conflict, and moreover, bring to book or accountability to those who have committed genocide and crime against humanity.
I would like to ask the President-elect Donald J. Trump to bring peace to the South Sudanese people by engaging them into common understanding.
What I need is peace. If there is a way for the newly elected President Donald J. Trump to bring peace in South Sudan, I would be very much happy, because what is going on in the country is beyond description.
I'm Aziz Nancy, a South Sudanese by citizen. I'm really very happy Donald Trump is being sworn, hoping so we'll have a change, especially in our country, South Sudan. I'm really hoping that he would help us strengthen our economy, because here in South Sudan, our standard of living, it's not everyone that can afford. So I'm really hoping if he can do that. So
I'm called Ohora Joseph. Really, in fact, I want Donald Trump, if he's sworn in, I really want him to bring peace to South Sudan. So in case of these leaders of ours who are doing all bad things, I need really them to be sanctioned.
James Pascalwan. Actually, the first thing that Donald Trump has to do is to stabilize the economy of South Sudan and protect the security purpose in South Sudan. I think this is the most things. So to promote unity in the country, this is the first thing up to be done by Donald Trump.
Yeah, actually, I'm a Samoa Enoch, based in Turin. All he wants is he should organize for the corrupt leaders to CICC. We have been filing leadership for a year. Whenever they are found guilty, they will boost and raise for ICC.
I'm Stella Remy. What I want from Donald is just to bring peace to our leaders, to talk to our leaders. We are now running out of everything from our country. We just need his help to bring peace in our country.
Joseph Majong Wegdit, South Sudanese citizen from Awil Estate. I wish His Excellency Donald Trump, the number 45 American president, to actually help South Sudan in political crisis and economic crisis.
My name is Moses Zakaria Ngor from South Sudan in Awil Town. What I need from Donald Trump to do for South Sudan is, as a local soccer coach for Awil, I need him to support South Sudan with at least one or two soccer academies to help South Sudanese youth join sport. Secondly, we need him to strongly fight for peaceful South Sudan.
Well, I'm Marco Dambek. I'm just talking from Awil. I expect the elect president of the United States, Donald Trump, to support South Sudan in all areas that they need to be. And I wish him good luck, of course, during this stay of in the office.
My name is Makwendeng. I'm from Awil State, South Sudan. And we expect the new coming president of the United States to make change to our political and economically. So we hope that he's a businessman who have been specialized in economic, and we think that he's going to change our country. When it's come, the dollar will drop. Also, we expect him to support our president, Salva Kiir Mayardit, for his good leadership that up to 2018. So all of us as Sudanese, especially in Awil State, we are happy that we welcome him warmly. And we hope that he is going to cooperate with us and promote new nation South Sudan to achieve this goal.
My name is Luka Telteldeng. I'm from Awil State. We congratulate the President of America, Donald Trump, and we wish him to support the government of South Sudan to implement this peace who has been signed between SPLM-IO and government of the South Sudan. We want also the new government in America has to come and pressurize all the rebels who are in the bush to come to join this peace. This is what we want from the new administration of America. We need also administration, the new administration of America, to support the economic in South Sudan by supporting the humanitarian, by supporting the government institution, by supporting the all any different sectors that can lead the civilian of South Sudan to enjoy.
My name is Kwach Garang David, also known by stage name as Aziz. What I need from Donald Trump is to work hand in hand with our President Salva Kiir Mayardit to stabilize the deteriorating economy of South Sudan so that people cannot die of hunger anymore, and to also help strengthen peaceful coexistence among South Sudanese.
These are voices of South Sudanese expressing their expectations from the new U.S. administration. West African leaders head to the Gambian capital Friday to give Yahya Jammeh one last chance to stand down by noon, or Senegalese troops will advance to Banjul and remove him. Catherine Hoji files from the latest from Banjul.
The streets of Banjul were quiet Friday, but the tension and uncertainty of the past week have been replaced with hope and determination.
The best is that Jammeh should step down because we have another new president now, Adama Barrow. So we are just praying and hoping that Jammeh should step down today.
Jammeh lost the December 1st election but has refused to accept defeat. The presidents of Guinea and Mauritania touched down in Banjul Friday morning for one last effort at mediation. I spoke to Khalifa Sala, the spokesperson for Gambia's new president, Adama Barrow.
President Barrow is inaugurated. President Jammeh, who is no longer president, is still trying to maintain himself as president by extending his mandate. So now, in this next 24 hours, the fate of the Gambia is to be decided.
Yahya Jammeh has shown no signs of compromise, and earlier this week even tried to extend his mandate with a three-month state of emergency. Jammeh reportedly spent Thursday dismissing what remained of his cabinet and naming himself head of all the ministries. But many of his ministers and his vice president had already abandoned him. Regional troops are not expected to meet resistance if they advance, aside from perhaps some loyalist members of the presidential guard. Gambia's army chief was seen dancing in the streets Thursday as crowds celebrated the inauguration of President Barrow at the Gambian embassy in Dakar. One of Barrow's first acts as president was to order Gambian troops to stay in the barracks. The streets of downtown Banjul are free of police and soldiers. Jammeh's administration has been accused of serious human rights abuses during his 22 years in power, including torture, disappearances and arrest of his political opponents. The risk of facing justice, either in Gambia or before an international court, is one of the reasons many believe Jammeh has held on. Barrow has been in Dakar for safety reasons since Tuesday, but it appears Gambians are ready to welcome the new leader home. Katerina Hay for VA News, Banjul.
From Banjul, we move to Uganda, where the World Food Programme says it expects to feed more than 900,000 refugees this month as more people continue to flee South Sudan. But the UN agency warns its ability to support such large number of refugees could be affected unless donors make good on pledges made towards supporting refugees. Simon Peter Piku reports for VOA from Kampala.
The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, estimates that if the current rate of South Sudanese refugees fleeing to Uganda continues, the number of refugees in the country could hit the 1 million mark in the next couple of months. Last year, the World Food Programme, or WFP, was forced to cut in half food rations for refugees living in the country for more than 1 year. Still, the WFP says it was providing food to some 870,000 refugees by the end of the year. Al-Khidir Daldum is the WFP's country director for Uganda.
The total projection for the month of January that we will be either 900,000 or exceed the 900,000 refugees. According to information from the UNHCR, that the total number of Southern Sudanese refugees in the country is 656,000. 417,000, those are the new arrivals from July 2016 to date.
Daldum says this number has failed to keep pace with donations for WFP's refugee operations. Daldum says they are already stretched thin.
We have a challenge of shortage in the pipeline. And as a result of that shortage of in the pipeline, we have revised our figures. And our figures now, the shortage from January to June is $57 million.
Daldum says it's not that donors are turning their backs on the refugee program. In fact, he says donors have gone out of their way to assist the refugees.
No one, whether inside South Sudan or within Uganda, predicted that by July we will have that high influx of refugees to South Sudan. And as you know, we were already in the middle of the year where most of the pledges have been made by our donors towards a different commitment. So actually, the support we got from July 2016 to date, some of it was made outside the original plan that the donors have made for Uganda.
The UN Food Agency in Uganda procures much of its food directly from local growers. But official reports indicate that a prolonged dry spell in much of the country's food-producing areas decimated harvests, leaving more than a million Ugandans food insecure. Last year, Daldum says, the WFP procured over 110,000 metric tons of food items for refugees locally. Daldum says the drought may force WFP to import much more food at higher prices.
We are still waiting for the national assessment, and we are hoping that national assessment will complete during the course of the coming 2 weeks, and we will have the report.
Daldum says his agency's primary concern is working out how to help the thousands of refugees arriving into the country each week and in partnership with the government of Uganda, helping those who have been in the country more than a year to become self-sufficient.
The challenge for us is how to meet the immediate needs of the arrival, but at the same time, for those who have been there for so many years or months, how we move them to the stabilization point, and then after that, how we take them to the livelihood interventions, those livelihood interventions which will lead to their empowerment, lead to their integration in Uganda.
The WFP says it's still too early to tell if it will have to make reductions on current levels of food assistance for refugees. But whatever happens, Daldum says, rations for those classified as being extremely vulnerable, such as the elderly, malnourished children and lactating mothers, will remain unchanged at 100%. For VOA News, I'm Simon Peter Piku in Kampala.
Lepers in Imatong State complain they are being isolated and discriminated against in their communities. A humanitarian assessment conducted by the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in partnership with a local non-governmental organization, Caritas Torit, found that more than 52 people are still living with leprosy in Torit County. Charitable organizations operating in the area are distributing food aid to the lepers this week. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit.
Dozens of leprosy victims living here stay in poor housing conditions in isolation because most people do not want to get close to them for fear they will contract the disease. 65-year-old Dario Oker is a chairman of people living with leprosy. Oker lives in a small tukul with his four children. His fingers and toes are deformed by the leprosy, which he says he contracted way back in 1978. Speaking in his Oruho language, Oker says since he contracted leprosy, life has not been easy because he and other lepers are often isolated and neglected. He says aid agencies often neglect them when distributing relief aid.
We are saying, but they are discriminating us. Like few days, farm tools were brought. We were not given anything completely. That is why we think we cannot die like that. We have to move to the offices because we are really suffering from hunger, lack of utensils, and many other basic needs which are beyond our control. When we meet, people greet us, "How are you?" But when assistance is to be given, we are not given.
Oker says leprosy left him deformed, making it impossible for him to produce his own food or even erect a shelter for his family.
I would like to thank those who have come to our help as people who are sick, because for me, life has become difficult. I cannot even dig when there is no child near to assist me.
To help people like Oker, local charity Caritas Torit, in collaboration with the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission officials in Imotongi State, went to assess the need of lepers. The assessment was conducted early this week in Ibalang, some 3 kilometers west of Torit town, an area formerly known as Lokondo, a leprosy colony where most leprosy patients were taken care of in the 1960s. Following the Monday's assessment, Caritas Torit started distributing food to the patients. Mario Amareng received 25 kilograms of maize flour, beans, oil, sugar, and salt for his family. But speaking in Arabic, Amareng wishes more help would be extended to people like him because he can hardly work and provide for his family.
We are
happy like this, but we need another one to be brought because these 25 kilograms will not be enough. It will get finished in 3 days. Look, I have 4 children, including me and my wife.
67-year-old Cecilia Idongi, who is a mother of 6, says she has been suffering from leprosy since her childhood. Idongi grew up with leprosy, which has crippled all her fingers and toes.
This sickness started attacking me since when I was a child, and I came to know more that I was suffering when my father brought me here to get medical assistance. Because there is completely no way that I can use to get any help like food due to this sickness. That is why we extend our hands to you, government, and the other organizations, so that you can help us.
Odongi Dario is the Director for Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in the Greater Eastern Equatorial Area. He says the aim of the assessment was to identify people who are still living with leprosy.
Well, the assessment is following the report from the labor colony that there are some people, about 52 households, which were submitted to the office of the commissioner, Imotong State, and he passed to my office. And we see to the list that, okay, there's need for us to go and verify the victims. Based on the report on the ground, that is, we say the preliminary report, followed by the assessment, is to identify the actual real situation on the ground and to come out with the figures, who are deserved the assistance and who did not deserve the assistance.
Leprosy is a chronic infectious disease caused by Mycobacterium leprae, an acid-fast, rod-shaped bacillus. The disease mainly affects the skin, the peripheral nerves, mucosa of the upper respiratory tract, and the eyes. The disease is contagious and destroys the human skin's sense of touch or feeling. It also destroys patients' toes and causes visibility deformities. Leprosy is curable and treatment provided in the early stages affords disability. Multidrug therapy, or MDT, treatment has been made available by WHO free of charge to all patients worldwide since 1995. It provides a simple yet highly effective cure for all types of leprosy. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan, or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's the best gift you've ever given?
I bought phone to the friend. It was a smartphone. So a friend would always tell me that I'm using that phone for browsing, checking news, and doing any other thing that can be used with a phone. And that's the best gift I've ever given out.
The society, I advise where necessary. So that's the gift I usually give to people. And I hope what I always tell them is good and helpful to them.
The best gift I've ever given maybe is shoes. I gave shoes to my mother when I was in my senior for vacation 2008. Then my mother was in the village, and I wanted to surprise her.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. We now take you live to the venue of the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as America's 45th president.
America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. A beautiful for pilgrim feet to stern in passion stress, a thoroughfare of freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every name divine.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to introduce the Chief Justice of the United States, John G. Roberts, Jr., who will administer the presidential oath of office. Everyone, please stand.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.